This morning's scripture lesson comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 12. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. Let us then lay aside the works of night and put on the armor of the light of day. These are our sacred stories. Besides this, writes Paul, besides this, this love of neighbor, this love of your neighbor as yourself that sums up all the commandments, besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone and the day is near. Let us lay aside the work of night and put on the armor of the light of day. Well, Paul, frankly, loving our neighbors as ourselves is proving challenging enough. We don't need any additional work. We don't need any besides this. Since the beginnings of our religious imaginations, we've not been able to come anywhere close to living up to or living into the commandment to love. So however kindly you might mean for us to move along, Paul, we are not ready. The commandments are summed up with this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. Paul is clearly not willing to wait for us to get this neighbor love thing right before moving us forward. Wake up, he urges. Wake up. Salvation is near. Paul wasn't willing to wait on those early Christians in Rome either. Love your neighbor as yourself was a struggle for those early Christians who faced persecution for being unwilling to worship the emperor alongside God. Emperor Claudius was so furious with monotheism that he had all the Jews banished from Rome in 49 CE. This decree lasted until his death 5 years later. With Emperor Nero, persecution of Jews and Christians became the order of the day. Nero enjoyed capturing Christians and setting them on fire to provide light for his gardens at night. Scholars date the writing of Romans to the early reign of Nero. It's hard to love your neighbor when they banish you from your home, when they set you on fire. And then there's the ongoing conflict from within the early church itself. There were clashes between Christians of Jewish origin and Christians who were Gentiles. The earliest Christian converts in Rome were likely of Jewish origin. The early Roman churches were dominated and led by Jewish disciples of Jesus. When Claudius expelled all the Jews from the city, however, only the Gentile Christians remained. And therefore the church grew and expanded as a largely Gentile community from 49 to 54 CE. When the Jews were allowed back into Rome, the returning Jewish Christians came home to find a church that was much different from the one they had left. There were lots of business meetings. Lots of, but we've never done it that way before. Lots of, but that's not what the scripture means. Lots of, what makes you think you're in charge? Who has the authority here anyway? Paul's letter to the Romans waxes with instructions for Jewish and Gentile Christians on how to live in harmony and how to properly worship God as a new church. You can read all about Paul's ideas about eating meat sacrificed to idols, circumcision, holy days, and the law. The law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And any other commandment, Paul says, is summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. And besides this, you know what time it is. How now is the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of night and put on the armor of the light of day. World Communion Sunday was born out of the ecumenical impulse of the 1930s liberal Protestantism, when fascism was real and Americans were extremely anxious. This day, this World Communion Sunday, was meant to rally hope in the midst of uncertainty. It was meant to signal ecclesial unity in the midst of nationalistic divisions. Perhaps it's good that this is World Communion Sunday as opposed to a National Communion Sunday. I'm not sure the United States could unite even for the sake of prayer, of bread and wine and table. And if it were bread for poor people or an exam table, if it were a cup for an immigrant, if people were gathered on their knees in prayer while the national anthem played, well, forget about it. Unity, neighbor, love, communion. Each of the three synoptic gospels notes that during the first communion, the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his followers, a dispute arose among the disciples as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Unity, neighbor love, communion. Not only does this argument about who's the best leave a bitter taste, when Judas passes the wine, Jesus lets everyone know that someone will betray him, betray them, their cause. Again, they seem to have an argument. Not I, surely not I, it wasn't me. Jesus lets the others off the hook by ensnaring Judas. And then the meal is barely over when Peter, with great passion, promises that he could never betray or deny Jesus, but he will, three times. And Jesus knows this. Jesus sits at the table with the arguing disciples, with the betrayer and the denier. This is the first celebration of communion. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is. How it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now. We never were ready to move past love. From the very beginning, this has been the struggle of our faith. We've been sleeping on the job. We've turned this command to love into a platitude. We've been pretending that we don't have to love all our neighbors. And for some churches, this has meant pretending that neighbor doesn't mean African Americans, Jews, Muslims, LGBTQI people. For some churches, this has meant pretending that neighbor doesn't mean fundamentalists, racists, and homophobes. You know what time it is. Time to wake from sleep. There is so much that needs salvation. Salvation in the here and now. Salvation we work for, we create, we embody when we love our neighbors as ourselves. Perhaps Paul is not suggesting a second step, but rather is telling us how to do the first one. Wake up. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us lay aside the works of night and put on the armor of the light of day. There is so much that needs the light of day, the light of love, the light of salvation. There's so much that needs us, you and me, working on ourselves and each other to love, to embody the salvation we all so desperately need. Salvation from our hatred, our selfishness, salvation from our sleep. Wake up. Amen.